Amen. It's great to be here. I see faces I know, and there's a couple of faces that are new to me. So as Pastor Jonathan said, I am the guy who said yes to God 28 years ago concerning the letter that God is writing here. And Jonathan is the man who said yes 8 years ago to the furthering of that letter. And so this is a response to something that God said. Many years ago, when we were down on Broadway Street, Janice, when we were down there, this lady, she is an awesome, awesome, talented lady. She got an amazing voice. That's where kids get that. This is a new season for you. This is a season of God demonstrating his faithfulness to you. And the best is yet to come. You've said before, I get a little prophetic when I get around this guy. So you've said before that I shouldn't be alive. And you were right. But the change has come where God says, you should be alive. And God's going to demonstrate that to you in this season. This lady should be alive. This lady should be alive. This is Janice. She should be alive. And it's like the veil is coming off. What it's felt like the delay was on, the delay is broken. It's not something detached or disconnected from what was. It's a furtherance of what always was. Because from your perspective, you said, I shouldn't be alive. I shouldn't be alive. I shouldn't be alive. And it's true. But from his perspective, he never saw that. He said, she should be alive. She should be alive. She should be alive. And he's not saying exist. He's saying alive. Okay? All right. So 28 years ago, we answered yes to God concerning a place called Abundant Life, which is something that would cause people to see, experience, and walk in the abundant life that Jesus came to give. And on that journey, 8 years ago, it transitioned. A sealing of the past became a foundation of the future, and some joined in the process. And in that process, it's brought us to this day where we're a life community, which is a furtherance of abundant life. And on the journey, many of you have stuck through the shaking, the shaking and the testing of things. I love that pastor's heart is to get us all to experience God and to hear God. That's been in the very foundation of this place from the beginning, that we would have a personal encounter with him. And so, you know, God does not delight in music. He delights in hearts. But humans delight in music. And sometimes maybe we need a little break from music to give to him our hearts. Because sometimes we confuse what worship really is. God looks for those who worship him in spirit and truth. And that it says he seeks for those. And the word there in John, when he says to the Samaritan woman that God seeks for those who worship, that word seek means to get down on your knees and give everything you have. And the word worship there means to come like a dog licking. In other words, just come ready. You know, those of you who are dog lovers, you know what that means. Your dog comes running to you and expects to be loved. Your dog doesn't think, well, I wonder if they'll love me today. No, your dog thinks they absolutely love me. Of course they do. And if you're a dog lover, you're not thinking, what did that dog lick last? See now I'm not a dog lover, so I might get those thoughts. What did he lick last? See? But God's not thinking that about you. He's not thinking about what did you lick last? What did you do last? He's not thinking of that. He's saying, I just want you to come unconditionally expectant of my love, and I want to get down into your world at your level, and I want to give you everything I've got. And so I really appreciate the hunger in our family. Today I'm going to talk about foundations. But I'm not talking about foundations that are disconnected from the past of something new that's never existed before. I'm talking about the foundations of life that are always real, that bring forth more life. So as the body of Christ, we are the house of God's manifest presence. So it takes a foundation. We're the house of God's manifest presence as the body of Christ. And so houses are built upon foundations. And so there's a scripture that it talks about the foundation of our lives. And that scripture talks about the fact that there's no other foundation but Christ. And so I'm going to begin by looking at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's found in verses 9 through 17. And it says, for we are God's fellow workers. Paul was speaking as a minister there. So I could say I'm a fellow worker with Pastor Jonathan, and those of you in this house, you're fellow workers with one another. And so that we can be God's field, we can be God's place, we can be God's building according to the grace of God, which is given to Paul as a builder here. He said, I've laid the foundation and another builds upon it. In other words, something has been set that was established by God, but God used people. So for a life, abundant life, something has been set by us that God led. When God called me to plant this ministry 28 years ago, he said, you're not my first choice. You're not my second choice. You're not my third choice. You're not my fourth choice. You're my first choice. Now that's a bit of a mystery. That simply means I could be number 5. I could be number 50. I could be number 1,000. Since 5 is the number of grace, it doesn't matter. But when God picks you, he doesn't pick you to do your thing. A lot of people don't get this. Okay, I'm committed to this place. And the reason I'm committed to this place is because it's his place. Okay, and I understand that there's a spiritual letter being written that God wanted to write long before I came along. Remember when we were down on Broadway building, some of you were there, and there was a hidden room upstairs that was sealed off, and the crazy Pastor Ted ripped a hole in the wall one Sunday morning to show a stairs that was hidden that nobody saw. How did I know it was there? I went out on the roof and found a hidden room through a sealed window outside, and I found a room that hadn't been in since the 1950s. And there was only one thing in the room, a little brochure, and it said, Building an Abundant Life. It was Broadway Christian Church, and that time it was a Presbyterian church, but their one little brochure that was in that room said, Building an Abundant Life. So I'm thinking, my goodness, in the 1950s, it wasn't until in the 1990s when we took possession of that building, but in the 1950s, a room got sealed with one brochure in there that said, Building an Abundant Life. Now, you know, I think those are funny little things, but God knows. He's got some things in his heart. Now, abundant life is not meant to be just a little location. It's meant to be an influence that affects many congregations. There are many congregations in this city doing wonderful things that are written letters of the Spirit that influence us, that help us become what we're meant to be in Christ. And we may never even know what those letters are, but their letter is helping us become our letter of Christ. It's true also as you, as individuals. You have a letter that you are becoming. Okay, in the world, everybody wants to find out who they are. Okay, and they're looking for it to find themselves. It's really foolish. You leave everybody to find yourself. Okay, don't leave God and don't leave people to find yourself, because who you are is connected to God and to others. That's right. If you leave God and you leave people, you won't find yourself. You'll find a lie. You won't find your true identity. And Pastor is helping us discover our identities this year. So in this foundation of a life is something that's established in Christ. And so let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. It goes on to say here that if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Now, the day is just a continual process of God. The day is not a moment in the future. The day is the light of Christ that is eternal. You are in the day of the Lord, or you can be in your day. And if you're in your day, the day of the Lord is going to prove your day to be temporary. And the day of the Lord is the only day that proves to be eternal. You see, the day of the Lord is not sometime in the future. I could take you and teach you some stuff. If you went to the Bible and you found last days, it's mentioned 23 times in most common scriptures. And every time it's the end of an old covenant. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the old covenant. And we've made it all about, oh, we're in the last days. My last day was May 12, 1973, guys. That was when I found the day of the Lord and I found out I can't die. Why? I already died in Christ. It's nothing but promotion from here on out. We can sing those songs of, hey, greater days are coming. Even if we were to die tomorrow, it's a greater day than it is today. But God's not finished with us yet on this, in this realm, in this place. He's doing great things. And so we got to build with appropriate materials, because our work will be declared by the day, because it'll be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. It's through fire. You know, I don't want to live my life and just go to heaven when I die. I got that one down already. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But I want to still be in this world after I'm gone. Now, I may not even realize how I'm still in this world. You may not even realize how you're still in this world. But how are you going to still be in this world? You live for the purpose of Christ in all things. And I promise you, your nose will end up on somebody else's face. Okay, a lot of you are not aware, but you're also responsible in helping me go to the nations. I just got back from Bulgaria and the Netherlands, and I'll be off this week. I'm off to England, and from there I go to Wales, and from there I go to the Netherlands, and then I go to Ireland, then I go to England, and back in July. You helped that happen, and my mandate is to mess the church up. My mandate is to tell the church some really good news. That the manifest presence of God in your life is the power of grace that transforms your life. And that the new covenant is spelled N-O-W. And the moment it's not now, it's not new. It's not a time in history. It's a place of relationship. It's a place of intimacy. And it's really good news. You got a father who loves you. And he's not someone who got saved in the New Testament. He was someone who's always been misunderstood, but finally can be seen for who he really is. And so you help that happen. Now, in these materials of building, the question is, what materials are we building with? Straw is a comfort zone. Most people in the world live to be comfortable. Where am I going to sleep tonight? Am I going to have a bed? When Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head, he wasn't talking about where you're going to sleep tonight. He was talking about fulfilling purpose. He said, a fox knows that if I dig a hole in the ground, I can live a fox life, do fox things, and fulfill a fox destiny. A bird knows if I find a stick, throw another stick together, I can build a nest, have a bird life, and affect this world with a bird destiny. Jesus was saying, the Son of Man has no place to put his head. Are you it? I'm looking for a body. I'm looking for a house to live in. I'm looking for a place to put my manifest presence, to put my headship on. I'm not looking for a place to sleep. I'm looking for a place to fulfill the purpose of God on planet Earth. The fox has a hole. The bird has a nest. Are you the place I can rest my head? Can I put my headship on you? See, in my journey, I used to be confused in some areas. Now I'm only confused in other areas. But I used to think that when Jesus came into my life, King Ted died never to live again. But I've discovered King Ted died to finally really live. I am a king and I am a lord. But I'm not a lord like the lords of the world. I'm a lord like my Lord, the Lord of lords. He's a servant of all and he's a giver of life. I am a king and I'm responsible for my kingdom. But my kingdom has become a kingdom of my Lord in Christ. And so it's a life-giving kingdom. But I'm going to influence this world as a king. I'm going to influence my space as someone who stewards, someone who lords well, someone who ministers life. And I'm going to build with things that are in people's lives. People who are not even here today have been affected by you. To be things like gold, things that are eternal, divine nature, things that are of silver, redemptive character, precious stone, individual testimonies. You may never see them again, but in this world, there are things that are eternal instead of things that burn up. If you build your own life, it can be straw, it can be hay. At best, it can be wood, but all of that stuff burns up. So I'm not interested in just straw, hay, or wood. I'm interested in gold, silver, and precious stone. Yeah? Now, when we talk about foundations, it says in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Everybody say, the Spirit of God dwells in me. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Now let's take that up a notch. The Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. If anyone defiles the temple, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I'd like to throw that verse out because that can't possibly be true in the new covenant. So what would happen if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Doesn't mean he'll go to hell. It just means you get to be saved as escaping the flame. Because the previous verse says you could be saved with nothing left. Your belief in Jesus, his mercy is enough to get you to heaven. But his grace is what it's going to take to get heaven into you, into this earth. So we need the foundation of Christ. My life is built upon the foundation of Christ. The life of this house is built on the foundation of Christ. That's what makes it a house of God's manifest presence. Peter said that this cornerstone is actually to us a precious stone. A stone that we can't live without. Let me give you a definition of precious. This water is precious to me. I can't go too many days without it. I usually try to drink lots of it every day. Don't you wish you had a bottle? Air is precious. I can't live without air. Can you live without air? I could actually go longer, but it's getting uncomfortable. So what I'm trying to demonstrate is when you have something that's precious, you try to go without it, it gets uncomfortable. We can have a lot of changes, but we cannot live without the manifest presence of Christ. And so to have the manifest presence of Christ in our lives individually, in our lives as families, in our lives as husbands and wives, in our lives as a Christ-centered community. What makes it a Christ-centered community is Christ. We cannot live without him. He's precious to us. He's not just a cornerstone. He's precious to us. If we just measured him as a cornerstone, we can get offended by who he is and try to leave. But we can't leave because we cannot live without him. He's like food. He's like water. He's like air. I cannot live without you, God. 46 years of knowing you, I can't live without you. It's the most important thing anywhere. And so I am a temple of your spirit. I'm a place of your spirit. And this church, A-Life, has to have that same testimony. The one thing we cannot live without is him. We can live without a lot of stuff, but we can't live without him. He's the most important thing because we're a house of his presence. And he says he's a living stone, a life-giving stone. And we are living stones, a place of his presence. In Luke 6, it talks about how foundations guarantee the future. I like this one. Pastor has shared some great truth on these verses. And it's the story of the man who built his house upon the rock and the man who built his house on the sand. And in these verses, if you read these verses, you'll see that both houses could be in the exact same geographical location. Both houses could have hired the same architect. Both houses could be the same size. Both houses could have the same floor plan, the same decorator. And both houses, it says that both houses heard God. A storm came. They both heard God and a storm came and beat against both houses. But one house was attached to the rock. One house was built on the sand. One house dug and the other house did not dig. And in the story, Jesus explains that the man who dug is the man who responded to what God said. Pastor Jonathan's told us in the past that it doesn't say he responded rightly. It says he responded to the voice. Hearing God and responding to what he said. I want a lifestyle where I'm always responding to what God said. He knows sometimes I'm a bit of an idiot. I don't always respond rightly. You don't always respond rightly. He's not asking you to respond rightly all the time. He's just asking you to respond, and he'll prove his faithfulness. He'll get it to be right. But it's not just about hearing. It's about responding to this dance we heard about today. Responding to this place of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the story, the one house fell. It was immediately in a ruin. And the other house, it doesn't say that the other house didn't fall down. See, it's not the strength of your house. It's the strength of the foundation of your house. The rock is Christ. The rock is Jesus. The rock is Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of resurrection from the dead when you die and the second death has no power over you. But it's also the hope of resurrection life right now, today. As a man, as a woman, as a family, as a church community. And so the foundation that we're built on is this foundation of the rock of Christ. And so foundations guarantee the future. This foundation guarantees my future. Christ in me guarantees my future. The manifest presence of Christ guarantees my future. The manifest presence of Christ in this church guarantees our future. Knowing what you're doing doesn't guarantee your future. Doing everything right doesn't guarantee your future. Matter of fact, you can build a Christian community and God might not come. But if you build a place where God lives, it will become a Christ-centered community. Build a temple, it'll build a city. Build a city, you may not get a temple. What's a temple? A temple is what's precious to you. Every city is centered around a temple. Many years ago when I moved to Bellingham, I heard a spirit speak out loud to me. It wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was an unholy spirit. And I didn't know the right answer because I was young and not smart enough yet. And the spirit said to me, the life is in the land, the life is in the sea. If you want to go see it, go downtown to the old museum and you'll see the picture of Dagon on the wall down there. That's Dagon, the god, the fish god of reproductivity. All of creation coming out of that big fish down there is not just some nice northwest little deal. That's a spirit. When I first moved here, there was a druid, guy in a hood down there one night in a trance in front of that thing. And I went down and started speaking in tongues behind that that druid, me and a couple of other guys, and he went walking through town and he went to some police officer. He told the police officer something and the policeman came up to me laughing and he said, the man says the spirit in you is making the spirits in him nervous. And I said, well, precisely, and I don't want any nervous spirits in my city, so I'm just helping him move along. There was another time down in, just in the history of things, there was another time down in Blodell Donovan, they wanted to channel a spirit into the city. What was his name? I can't remember, but it meant the god of rape, pillage, and plunder was basically who he was. He was an Egyptian god. And they wanted to channel him in off Lake Whatcom down there. And so I took a worship team down there. Janice, were you part of that? Oh, you didn't get to be part of that one. But we were down worshiping on the water, and we shut the channeling down that day. And a policeman came and said, would you mind moving along? They would like you to move. And I said, well, actually, this is a public park, and we're just out here worshiping God today. And he said, well, would you mind moving? I said, well, you know, you're a police officer, right? He said, yep. I said, so it's your job to enforce the law, right? He said, yeah. And I said, so I'm doing the same. It's my job. My job is, this is my city, and they want to bring a spirit of rape, pillage, and plunder into my city, and unfortunately, I can't allow that. Okay, that's how crazy I used to be. Right? And the policeman kind of, after a little bit, he went to his side, and he said, come here. He says, I need to let you know I'm not against you. Yeah, what's he thinking? I don't want that here either. I'm going to be dealing with that. Anyway. So foundations guarantee the future. The foundation of Christ in my life guarantees the future of my marriage. The foundation of Christ in my life guarantees the future of me as a person. The foundation of Christ guarantees the future of my family. The foundation of Christ guarantees the future of this church, this community. If I build a place for his presence, I'll become an expression of his presence. I'll become a city. Now, foundations are also connected to the past. Here's a great scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, when it talks about the foundation of the church is built upon the apostles and prophets. So Ephesians 2 verses 19 through 22. Therefore know that you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, the context of these verses is not apostles and prophets. The context of these verses is God's eternal plan. And he's saying the church, which is now made of Gentiles and Jews, people who were far off, people who were near, a place for God's habitation, is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Now, what is that saying? You remember the parable of those who went to work at the beginning of the day and they were promised a certain wage? And then there were those that came at the end of the day and the owner gave them the same wage as those who came at the beginning of the day. And at the end of the day, those who came at the beginning of the day were really ticked off because they didn't get more. They got the same as those who came at the end of the day. See, they made it about what they're going to get instead of how good the owner of the field is. Those who labored at the beginning of the day were thousands of years of people who didn't have what you have. You understand, Jesus didn't come because the law didn't work. The law was never intended to work. You are different than John the Baptist, who was the best born of woman. Christ in you is a miracle. It's not a persuasion of belief. It's a miracle that John the Baptizer was looking for. It's a miracle that Abraham longed to see. You see, Abraham had enough of God's promise to get him to heaven, but he didn't have enough of God's promise to bring heaven into the earth the way God wants it. When Jesus came, marriages were terrible. When Jesus came, the Jewish system was great at functioning according to the curse of the law. Let me give an example of a curse of the law. A wife's desires for a husband. That's a curse. A husband rules over his wife. That's a curse. A husband is distracted because he's too busy trying to figure out what to do, to know what to do. That's a curse. From dust you came, to dust you return. That's a curse. God never had it in mind for humanity to end in the curse. Bonnie is not my helper. She's my helpmate. She's not here to help me in my thing. God put us together for his thing. When God put us together as a community, he didn't put us together for our thing. He put us together for his thing. When he gave you a family, when you became a husband and a wife, and let's say God gave you a husband, and made you a husband and a wife, and the enemy came and confused the situation, and you ended up being single. And now you're thinking, well, what is this about? It's still about you and God's plan. Even if a thief came to screw it all up, it's still about God's plan in your life. There are many maybe that should be part of the path, but separated from the path. I had a pastor come to me. His wife had left him. He's a man who's in relationship with me. His wife had left him because she went and had a relationship with someone else, and he was devastated, and he was trying to work things out, and it didn't work out. You know, it takes two to tango. It takes two to dance. Okay. And then pastors came and told him he had to take a sabbatical because his wife left him. And he asked me, and I said, do you need to take a sabbatical? I don't know. I said, do you love her? He said, yes. Would you take her back in a minute? He said, yes. Okay. And I know what he was walking through because I was counseling him in the situation, both of them. And I said, so do you believe this disqualified you? He said, well, I don't know. I said, are we here to help people go through stuff? He said, yes. I said, do you love God? And he starts crying. Yes, I love God with all my heart. I said, so has this disqualified you or has it further qualified you? Do you know God's grace? Do you know God's mercy? Do you know God's grace? Can you lead people through God's mercy and grace? Can you be empathetic with somebody who just went through the stuff you just went through? Yeah. So it seems to me that you're more qualified, not less qualified. So do you need to take a sabbatical? I don't know. Maybe you need a vacation. I don't know. But I don't know that you necessarily need a sabbatical. My experience with sabbaticals is they almost never work. I'm 46 years old in Christ, and it's not my first rodeo. And I've seen a lot of pastors take sabbaticals only to never return to ministry again. That worked well. Well, this is just a big elk trail this morning. So foundations, the foundation here is built upon the apostles and the prophets. The prophets is the sealing of the old covenant. The 12 prophets of the Old Testament. They're around the throne room. You get the same wage as those who labored through a time that didn't have the grace that you have. And what was their objective? To get to heaven when they die? No, their objective was to bring the influence of heaven into this world. Yes. I'm inviting you today to say, I'm part of something really good, really big. I'm part of something really great on planet Earth. I am here to bring heaven, to invade the earth with heaven's grace, to change things that couldn't have been changed yesterday. The apostles are the foundation of the new. The prophets are the ceiling of the old. But guess what? We're part of that house. Something in our lives is connected to that foundation, the foundation in Christ. There's nothing new under the sun. We can be part of something that's reinventing the wheel. I'm going to do it different. Guess what? You're not going to do it different. You're going to do the same thing grandma and grandpa did in a different way. Unless you realize you are your grandma. You are your grandpa. You are your dad. You are your mom. You are your kids. You are your grandkids. You're part of a bigger picture than just yourself to bring the glory of God into the earth. Things of silver, of gold, silver, precious stone. And so foundations are connected to the past. And they're made of stones. Okay? Now, what kind of stones are in your life? There's two kinds of stones. One is the stones that you throw at somebody and it kills them. That would be a dead rock. If you take and find a dead rock today, go down to the river and get a big dead rock and throw it at some living thing, it will kill it. Don't throw it at you. Don't throw it at your wife or your husband. But if you throw a rock that is dead, I know it has energy in it, magnetic things, earth does, it testifies of God, but it's still dead. If you throw it at somebody, it's going to kill them. But if you find a life-giving stone, that doesn't kill somebody. It makes dead things come alive. John the Baptist talked about stones that would praise God. Okay, what was dead becomes full of life. We are the praise of God, the testimony of God. So the stones of our life. I would look at one other scripture, and then I want to conclude with where I want to end. In Isaiah 2, just skip all the way up to Isaiah 2. verses 1 through 3, it talks about a mountain that's made of stones. The word of the Lord to Isaiah here, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house," what is the latter days? The latter days is any day that's after your day. Okay, so my latter days, Ted Hansen, are greater because the former days of Ted Hansen, he lost his life so that he could find it. He laid his life down so he could finally pick it up in Christ. The life that I now live, I live by faith in Christ. I live, but I live according to resurrection from the dead. I'm more alive than alive. Pre-Christ, you can be killed. In Christ, you can't be killed. Why? You already have passed from death to life. Therefore, not even the second death has power over you. Don't be afraid of death. You've already been there. The sound of your life is, I can't die, can't be killed. Anything that's born of God is guaranteed to overcome the world. Cannot die, can't be killed, over you, over this place. Cannot die, can't be killed, resurrection from the dead. The sound of your life is born again. Hey, get this picture. That's a miracle. Born again. Do you realize that Christ in you? No, Christ is not in all human beings. Christ should be in all human beings. But you have to say yes to him. And when you say yes to him, you get born again. It's a miracle. It's the same as a virgin getting pregnant. It's that miraculous. Christianity is not another form of religion. I don't even like Christianity. I like Christ in humanity. That's what I like. And if all religions are so great, why is it that I was just in the Netherlands and everyone that I minister to who came out of Buddhism, I got to cast 6 or 7 or 8 demons out of? Why is that? It's true. Good people stuck in the wrong stone. I want to bring all people into the right house, into the right stone. Okay, so the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will flow in it. Many people will come and say, "Woo, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord," to the what? To the house of the God of Jacob. Let me say that in other words. Come, let's go to the mountain of the Lord, the mountain that's built on a foundation of a life-giving stone that's made of life-giving rocks. Let's go to the mountain that's life-giving people. Hey, let's come to that place where all those life-giving stones come together, the place that is filled with God-seekers. God-seekers. The God of God-seekers. Jacob, God-seekers. And God seekers, what's he going to do to you as a God seeker? He's going to teach you his ways. You're going to walk in his paths. For out of Zion will go forth the law. What law? The law of love. Out of your heart will go love. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Your life will be an expression of no gap between you and God. Okay, that's an interpretation of the Charlie Brown words. But it's a place of his ways, his paths, his imagination, his influence coming through us. Now, here are the verses that I felt prophetically for us as individuals and as a church today. And they're found in Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. It was at a time after the captivity of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was to be rebuilt, but before Jerusalem could be built, a temple had to be built. Scripture says that King Cyrus of the Mede-Persian kingdom gave an order to build the city, but he didn't. He never said build the city. He said build a temple. And that's recorded in history as the command to build a city. And when was the command to build a city? When the temple was completed with all of its ingredients, all of its character, all of its function. That was the order, build a city, build a community, build a family, build a marriage. Would you like a marriage built? Would you like your business built? Would you like this church built? Would you like your life built? Would you like your future built? Okay, you can try to build your future, but your efforts won't build your future. Christ in you, Christ in your life will build your future. Why do so many marriages fail? Because Christ is not the center of their marriage. Well, religion sometimes is. Okay, so when the temple was rebuilt, when they laid the foundation, which I believe prophetically right now, God is reminding you and reminding me and reminding us that the foundation of our lives is not what's going on around us, but it's the one who is in our life. Who is in me? Who is it that guarantees my future? Who is it that I need when the storms beat violently against it? Who is the most important? Who's more important than my human friends? Who's more important than my... Who's the future of my human friends? Who's the future of my family? What's the future? I am a house of God's manifest presence. That's the future. And so they went to rebuild this house. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, what was previously standing was being rebuilt. They laid this foundation, and the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets. And the Levites stood there, and the sons of Asaph, and they had cymbals to praise the Lord. Those are some powerful words, because it says they stood in their apparel with trumpets. What's the point of trumpets? A trumpet is a symbol of God speaks, life happens. It's a prophetic symbol. God speaks, life happens. So these priests, they stood in their apparel. They stood in their identity. Here I am. They stood in who they are. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. They stood in their apparel. I'm standing today. Here I am. Here I am. Anybody want to join me? Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I don't need to be him. I don't need to be her. Here I am. I don't need to be anyone else. I don't need to be measured by anyone else's success or anyone else's failure. Here I am. I'm standing in my apparel. We're going to find our identity this year, aren't we? Come on. Yep. Here I am. I'm standing in my apparel. And what's the sound in my life? It's a trumpet. God speaks. Life happens. And there's two kinds of trumpet. One is a shofar, but this is a trumpet that is a formation of Christ in you. This is a silver hammered trumpet, where you become the character, the nature, the way, the power, the authority of Christ. Christ is being formed in me. He isn't just living in me. He's forming the walls of my life. He's forming my future. And I am here for the service of God. Like a Levite, I'm here for the service of God. And I'm here with symbols. Symbols are a prophetic symbol of angels. There are angels. They ascend and they descend. They don't come from heaven. They come from the house of God on earth. You want angels to work in your marriage? Then become a place of God's presence, not a place of argument. When you become a place of God's presence, angels will go and get whatever you need. They are real. You don't have to believe in them for them to be real. I fell off a high-rise construction building one day and had a safety belt on snap. It swung around a pillar and snapped. Click. I looked at the guy I was working with, and I said, "Do you believe in angels?" He said, "I do now." I got news for you. There are angels in this room. They're ministering spirits sent unto those who inherit salvation. They're working on behalf of you being a house of God's spirit, a house of God's presence. Go, angels. Come on. I've been praying every day concerning the angels of this house. Go, angels, to the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Gather in everything that's necessary, because the foundation of the Lord is set, and we're ready to go forward. Is this true in your life? Okay, you can find yourself widowed. You know what? It's time for another season of another foundation. You can find yourself abandoned. It's time for another season of the foundation that's in your life. You can find yourself, you were single, now you're married. My goodness, now you're going to have to find the foundation of your life. But what's the foundation of your life? You knowing what you're doing? No, it's the presence of God in your life. And so you're here, you say, "Here I am." You got the sound of God in your life. You're set apart to him. And you got, you're releasing, Asaph is a gatherer. You're a gatherer unto God. You're gathering unto God. Others are gathering. You're releasing angels, and you're the praise of the Lord. That word praise there is the word halal. It's not the word yada. It's a Hebrew word, halal. Most common word for praise, least common practiced. It means to stultify. You probably don't even know what that means, right? Stultify means to be declared legally insane by natural standards. Okay? Now, to stultify means to take four large glasses of wine, 19% alcohol, drink them as fast as you can. When you get done with the fourth one, you will be stultified. Now, don't use wine, use the Holy Spirit. Get filled with 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 the Holy Spirit. And you'll be somebody who will be legally insane by natural standards, because it should have been over for you a long time ago. But here you are. And you are stultified. You're the praise of God. God wants us to be that place. I prophesy this over A-Life, that we will be, each of us, in our place. Here I am. And when they got the sound of God speaks, life happens. We're ministers of life unto God, gathered unto God, releasing his angels, becoming something that is supernaturally impossible by the power of his grace. We are the praise of God. Because our God is the same God that was the God of David, the one whose mercy is new every morning. Look at verse 11. They sang responsively. They responded to one another. I believe the sound of this house is going to be a responsive sound. Like never before, we're going to respond to the grace of God in one another. We're going to respond to the voice of God in one another. And we're going to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he's good and his mercy endures forever. Why? Because he's God? No, because he's good and his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever toward those who are the inheritors of God. And then all the people shouted with a great shout. Woo-hoo! And they praised the Lord. They halaled the Lord because the foundation of the house had been laid. Okay? And then it goes on to say, but many, in verse 12, many of the priests and the Levites, the heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy. Verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. Now, here's what I want to tell you about this shouting and this weeping. In the days when the temple was restored for Israel, the weeping was because those who remembered the former temple thought the present temple wasn't much. And so it took a prophet named Haggai to come and remind them that they were part of the house of God, not their personal private house. And that they needed to come and build the house of God. And it took a prophet, Zechariah, to come. And prophet Haggai and the prophet Zechariah caused the house to be built, because here's what their names mean. Haggai means to feast in God's presence, to feast on God, to feast in God. And if you're not feasting in God, you'll miss what God is doing. And Zechariah means to remember. And in remembering, it's remembering God and being remembered by God. You see, when you put your mind on what's not anymore, it's hard to remember God. When you put your mind on God, not only do you remember God, but he demonstrates that he's the one who remembers you. This is a season where God's going to demonstrate his faithfulness to you. His faithfulness to you. Why? Because you are a house of the Holy Spirit. You as an individual, you as a family, as a single person, a married person, and a life community church. God is demonstrating, he's going to demonstrate that this is a house of his manifest presence, and it's a house of his purpose and his will. And so the house is built because we feast in God, we remember him, and he demonstrates that he remembers us. And so this is the place of joy and weeping. But I'm going to tell you the weeping that God wants. Because I do believe that in this house there needs to be the sound of weeping and the shout of joy, but not the weeping that the Israelites had. Here's the weeping. For those of you that are like me, 46 years old in Christ or somewhere therein, or those of you that were part of a life for a while, okay, as you see the foundation set in your life, or let's take this. Let's say your marriage is in trouble. But your marriage was set on a foundation of Christ, but now it's in trouble. What's going to fix your marriage? You knowing what you're doing? No, remember the foundation by which it was put together. The foundation is the foundation of Christ. Being connected to Christ is what's going to be the answer. Not knowing what you're doing. You've already proven you don't know what to do. You already did that really good. So the only thing that's going to cause this to be built is get back to the foundation of your life, which is Christ in you. Your family, your children, say, your children are walking away from God. What are you going to do? What's going to be the answer? You being the Holy Spirit? No. What's going to be the answer is Christ in your life is going to be the answer. You losing your job and now having to figure out, what am I going to do for work? What's going to be the answer? You finding the right job? No, you finding Christ in the midst of your unemployment. That's what's going to be the future of your employment. You finding the foundation of Christ in your life is what's going to be the answer. And when you find it, you're going to feast in him on your worst day so that you can feast in him on your best day. You're going to remember him on your worst day so that you can remember him on your best day. If you can't remember him on your worst day, I promise you won't remember him on your best day. Because that's the easiest time to forget, when everything's going good. But you remember him and you become the place of his manifest presence. And now it's okay to weep, because here's what you're going to weep for. As God resets the foundation of Christ in this place, and God resets the foundation of Christ in your life, you weep because you remember the purpose for it all from the very beginning. And the weeping is not a weeping of sorrow. It's a weeping of joy. Is it possible? Look, here it is again. Not to build what was, but to build what has never, ever even been seen. And the sound in this place is going to be a sound of weeping and shouting of equal volume, but not a shouting of the flesh, and not a weeping of the flesh, but a shouting of being filled with the life of God, and a weeping to say, wow, I remember this is what was in the purpose all along. This was in the purpose of our relationship. This was in the purpose of this place. So I'm going to pray that God blesses us in us. I want to play that song again that we sang. And I'm going to change the words as we sing it. So why don't you pop the song on? I'm going to change it to we, because I'm... We don't have the words up. But we have the music. The words come on the thing. It'll come line at a time. I'll help us. Okay, you ready? We're gonna make this confession. Stand, sit, whatever you want to do. Father God, we bless you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you, God, that the future is bright because you are a life-giving stone and our lives are set on you. We're calling your glory to be manifest. We're part of your calling, your inheritance, and your testimony. For all you brought us through, and now we're ready. Whatever you want to do, we're moving forward to follow after you. And now we're ready. Whatever you want to do, your presence.
yet to come.
Come on, the best is yet to come.
Your presence is the open door. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is the open door. So come now, Lord, like never
life. Yeah.
Father, bless us with your presence. Let us go forward according to your plan, because you are good and your mercy endures forever. Amen.